On Tech News Today, Microsoft pushes out 4 major executives. California delivers some bad news to Uber, and cyber espionage comes to baseball. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. Welcome to the show. I'm Mike Elgin. Our co-anchor today is ZDNet contributing writer Kevin Toefel. How are you, Kevin?
I am doing great. I'm really looking forward to see what Nest is going to announce practically any second right now.
For some reason, they scheduled their event right at the same time as Tech News Today. I don't know what they were thinking. They're going to get no viewers on their stream. It's just a really bad idea on their part. The word on the street, and by street, I mean just sort of in the blogs, is that they're going to come out with a new drop cam. It's going to say Nest on it. It's going to be warm and fuzzy. It may connect to other Nest devices somehow. Who knows? Any other predictions on your part, Kevin?
No other predictions, but I'd really like to see Google do something more with Nest than they've done since they bought it. I mean, they have Dropcam, as you had mentioned. So yeah, I think that's a safe prediction. But, Apple's starting to build up momentum with HomeKit right now, and there's more devices out and so on. So I'd like to see something really shake up the smart home right now.
On the branding front, I think it's interesting that Google acquired Nest, and Tony Fadell, of course, former Apple designer type guy, in charge of the operation. And they said when they acquired the company that, oh, we're not going to change the branding. We're going to keep it kind of independent. And then Google, through Nest, bought Dropcam. And Dropcam is being forced to rebrand into Nest, even though Nest isn't being forced to rebrand as Google. So it's all very strange. But these are great products. Dropcam is a great product. The Nest products, I think, are very cool. And yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to see a lot more than simple, these simple things that most people, let's face it, especially their smoke detector does more than detecting smoke, but their smoke detector, Nest Protect, I mean, this thing is really expensive. If you put one in every room in the house, it's going to be thousands of dollars. And so they need something for the sort of for the general public rather than these kind of like really high-end devices.
Yeah, it can add up quickly there, but even stranger to me is that Google just announced their home automation platform
right
at Google I.O. last week, and that's not part of Nest, so I can't quite put it all together yet.
Well, once again, Google is an all-of-the-above type of company. They're the opposite of Apple. Apple says, this is the one platform, and Google says, well, here's a platform, here's another platform. Let's see what which one takes off, and in fact, we will see. And I think it's a certainty that Nest will have a good future. They are a leader in terms of making home automation warm and fuzzy and very usable. Their Nest thermostat was one of the first devices that everybody thought, wow, this is really cool. It kind of has intelligence and so on. So we'll see what they come up with today. Well, a Microsoft reorg announced today pushes out former Nokia CEO Stephen Elop. Also out at Microsoft is Mark Penn, who is in charge of the company's disastrous Skrugled campaign. Kirill Tatarinov and Eric Rutter are also leaving the company. That's 4, count them, 4 major executives who have been forced out. Meanwhile, Windows chief Terry Myerson will take over a newly formed group called the Windows and Devices Group. What do you think, as a devices guy and also somebody who covers Windows, of them combining Windows and the Devices Group?
I think it's a smart idea, and my far more eloquent colleague, Mary Jo Foley, penned a nice piece on this shortly at ZDNet. And she said, you know what, it's really not about the hardware. The hardware part of Microsoft is really to showcase the services and the software. And I think that's a smart take on things, and also a smart move by Microsoft to do this. Elop is the biggest name here, I think, out of all of this that's coming and going. I don't know that people are terribly surprised by that, given his tenure at Nokia and then coming over to Microsoft. I have to say, though, as a Chromebook user, I hated that Skrugled campaign, and I wonder if Mark Penn is out because of that, because I think it hurt Microsoft in the long run.
Well, there's no, well, speaking of, before we get to Mark Penn, speaking of Mary Jo Foley, she's also a colleague of mine, and she'll be co-hosting Windows Weekly immediately after this show today. And so you can get her views on that. And of course, Paul Theriot and Leo Laporte are also on that show. So I'm sure they're going to be talking about this reorg extensively. And those are two killer analysts for the world of Microsoft. Now back to Mark Penn. I've seen another interesting theory about him. He is a political dirty tricks guy. That's what he does for a living. And he was hired by Microsoft to come in and do dirty tricks for Microsoft. It kind of backfired on them. I think it gave him more bad publicity than good. And now he's leaving just in time for the new presidential campaign. So I have the feeling that one reason he might be leaving is that he's going to go join one of the candidates to be their dirty tricks guy. So good riddance to him.
Maybe he's going to help Donald Trump since he just announced that. Campaign for presidency yesterday. So good luck with that.
Yes, and there's a very convincing report that shows that Donald Trump hired actors to be in the audience for his announcement. So
shades of Samsung.
What a blowhard. Well, got more news for you in just a minute, but first let's talk about Braintree. Braintree is a full stack payment solution that makes it super, super easy for you to accept payments if you have an app or if you have a website that sells things, products, services, whatever. You can accept very easily MasterCard, American Express, Discover, Diners Club, PayPal, Apple Pay, Venmo, Visa, even Bitcoin. That's right, you can accept Bitcoin. If you're a mobile app developer, you got to check out Braintree. It's used by, speaking of Uber and Lyft, it's used by both those companies. One of the reasons why they're so successful, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, and Munchery. Braintree basically replaces the old and busted model of sourcing a payment gateway and merchant account from different providers and gives you the new hotness, which is just some easy lines of code. You can just plug it into your app and off you go. You can accept everything. No minimum or monthly fees, no red tape. You only pay for the transactions you process. Braintree gives you a full stack payment solution, support for all payment types for your customers, and you can start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, credit cards, and more, all with one single integration. And that's across all platforms, and they also offer superior fraud protection, customer service, and fast payouts. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNT. The California Labor Commission yesterday filed a ruling that says Uber drivers are officially employees of the company rather than independent contractors. The ruling came in response to a complaint from an Uber driver in San Francisco named Barbara Ann Berwick. Nat Guerin wrote about the story for The Next Web and joins us to talk about it. Welcome to you, Nat.
Hey, Mike.
Now, why does this matter so much for Uber? What difference does it make whether they're employees or contractors?
Well, when drivers are considered employees and as opposed to independent contractors, that means Uber is required to be responsible and be liable for a bunch of other benefits, such as health benefits and insurance, and also other work-related costs, such as gas and repairs. So as you can imagine, its fleet of drivers in California alone must be huge, considering the headquarters base in San Francisco. So if this law does take into effect, Uber is going to have to scale down its operations immensely to be able to afford benefits for its entire fleet of drivers. And that just entire ruling just threatens its business model as a whole.
Nat, that's really a good point about the cost as an ongoing company for Uber, assuming all this law doesn't change. Is there anything Uber can do? Can they ask to have this decision appealed? What kind of recourse do they really have in a situation like this?
Well, Uber said it will appeal, although just breaking news, really. Uber just released a statement saying that the Reuters original headline that broke the story said that the ruling applies to just that one driver and not the entire fleet of drivers in California. We'll see how true that statement actually is as the story develops. But yeah, I mean, Uber will appeal, and we'll see where that goes. Although recently Florida has come out with the same ruling over Uber's operations there, and that its drivers there are also considered employees and not independent contractors.
It's kind of an interesting turn of events because, of course, they've met with opposition all over the world for all kinds of reasons. One of those reasons is that they're very disruptive of the conventional taxi and livery driver industries. And, you know, they've sort of become a meme of sorts where, you know, this company and that company and another company is the Uber of whatever. And what people mean by that is a highly disruptive, highly successful company that's managed to get around the costs and a lot of the infrastructure that conventional industries have had by claiming a certain amount of detachment. This whole, they're just contractors, we just connect people who want to drive with people who want to ride kind of approach to things. And if this is allowed to stand, I mean, let's think about the worst case scenario here for Uber. Let's say this is allowed to stand and Uber now has to buy a car and gas and insurance and have like all the rest for the drivers as if they're regular employees. Is this fatal to Uber? What will this do to Uber?
Well, first of all, they would, one, they can't afford it at this current scale. So this means that even with the recent round of funding, they wouldn't be able to afford it at all. Two, if they were to continue, they would have to scale down by a lot just to make sure that they can even afford to pay their employees. And at that rate, you know, this completely changes Uber as a logistics company, which it has always touted itself as a software business than anything. But now it becomes a transportation company, and that's a completely different thing. And there's no way that Uber can afford to operate at the rate it does now, if that's the case. And I think the biggest implications from this ruling is that, as you mentioned before, there's a lot of other startups that has the Uber 4X premise going for it. And if this ruling stands, this also threatens other startups with the same model. You know, what will happen to HomeJoy that does the same thing for cleaners, or, you know, TaskRabbit or any other companies that provide on-demand services and, you know, provide their contractors or employees with equipment to do their jobs, you know, because part of the ruling is that Uber offered these employees phones to use. And if they don't, you know, accept drives within like a certain amount of drives within 180 days and their accounts can be deactivated, or if their ratings go below a certain number, they can get their accounts deactivated. So very much so Uber has control over how their employees or drivers operate. So how will this affect other startups that operate on the same model? You know, we'll have to see how that affects them. And it's a scary thought thinking that, you know, if I were startups that operate on the same model, I'd be very worried.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you in New York or San Francisco? I'm
in New York.
Okay. And do you use Uber or do you just jump in a yellow cab?
No, I actually use Lyft more than Uber just because it's normally more cost efficient for me. But yeah, if given an opportunity, I always seem to choose Lyft, and Lyft has also been brought up with similar cases. So yeah, it'll definitely be troublesome for them too.
Well, Nat Garin is at thenextweb.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at NATTGARUN. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nat.
Thanks.
The FBI is investigating the St. Louis Cardinals baseball organization for hacking the Houston Astros for the purpose of corporate espionage, specifically to steal information about players. That information exists in a proprietary database application called Ground Control, developed by the Astros, which holds all the club's information about trades, stats, medical information, and scouting reports, and so on. If the FBI's suspicions turn out to be true, this would be the first known case of corporate espionage hacking involving professional sports. If not true, it's probably China. What do you think, Kevin Toefel? Is this going to end up being a sort of catastrophe for baseball, or is this, you know, what do you make of it? Are you even a baseball fan?
I used to be a big baseball fan, but I've kind of gotten away from it. And I have not seen the movie Moneyball. However, I do know that these kinds of statistics and information are really important to professional sports teams. I mean, there's the whole privacy aspect of actually hacking into another organization's information, but then actually having that information and possibly, you know, using it to learn more about players and strategies and so forth. I mean, it's just, if it's true, and we don't know that it is true, it would just be awful. I mean, there's no other word I can think of.
The details of this case are actually quite convoluted and strange. A bunch of people who set up a similar database for the St. Louis Cardinals went to the Houston Astros, and then they left again, or something like that. I mean, it's the same people going back and forth between clubs with inside knowledge that the hack apparently wasn't very sophisticated, so it probably wasn't China. And it's basically an old school, you know, brute force hack. So we'll see. But what's interesting about this as well is that if you look at the sports publications like Sports Illustrated and so on, they're just treating this like it happened. I mean, they're not even saying allegedly. You know, they're just saying, oh, they hacked them. They did this. So we'll see what the FBI concludes in all this and see if anybody's hauled off to prison. Well, the European Court of Human Rights has ruled that an Estonian news site called Delfi can be held responsible for comments made by readers. If allowed to stick as a precedent, the ruling could force all social networks and other sites operating in Europe to censor comments because they, as a company, would be held liable for anything anyone says on the sites. This scares the pants off of me, Kevin Toefel, because if this really goes through, this is, I mean, Europe, the European regulators are already kind of anti-internet. This would be catastrophic if this would lead to laws that essentially forced every social network to censor everything anyone said.
Yeah, there's two aspects here that really scare me as somebody who publishes online for a living. I mean, first of all, to be held accountable for something that I didn't even say or write, if I was a site owner or a public, you know, a publisher, I mean, that's crazy. It's just simply crazy. I have no control over what people say. Yes, you can moderate comments and so on and so forth, but still, that's an issue. The other thing is, I actually learn far more from my readers than my readers probably do for me. I don't want those conversations to be stemmed and shut down because, you know, I like them to call me out when I'm wrong. I like them to teach me things when I'm unsure of something. And, you know, it goes against, it just flies in the face of what the internet really is all about, in my opinion. So I do not want to see this even continue on as a possibility.
There's also the, you know, the fact that if there is no space on the European internets where you can speak freely as yourself, then that just is really bad for freedom of speech because, of course, where do you go to have those conversations? You go, you know, literally out into the street and talk to your neighbors. I mean, it would really be oppressive if they allow this to stand and become the law of the land. Well, we're getting a little bit of information from the next Nest event. They just announced the second generation Nest Protect. That's the smoke detector. The new one looks smaller. We don't have all the details yet. We'll see those details on Tech News tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific with Megan Maroney tonight. But in the meantime, we'll keep watching the Nest event to see what else they announce, including if they announce a camera. Well, the new U.S. net neutrality rules went into effect Friday, and already a San Diego-based webcam streaming company called Commercial Network Services is accusing Time Warner Cable of violating those rules. They say Time Warner is degrading video quality from the site to its users, and therefore it's a blatant violation of the FCC's net neutrality rules. I don't know if this is a legitimate complaint, Kevin, but if it is, then clearly it is. I mean, if they are if they're downgrading this video site to make room for somebody else's content, then that is not good.
Yeah, and it certainly didn't take long for the new rules to go into effect, and immediately somebody, you know, spouted out, we've got a problem here. So whether it's actually a legitimate issue or not, I don't know. But it's just interesting to me how quickly we've already got somebody raising the red flag right after the rules go into effect here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in product update news, Dropbox introduced today a new tool called File Request, which enables anyone, including people without Dropbox accounts, to send files. So the tool basically sends, if you're a user of Dropbox, if you have a subscription to that, you can send your request for files through email, and the recipient can upload directly from the email. They don't have to be a Dropbox user themselves. This is great, Kevin Toefel, because this widens the net, and it also is great for them in terms of marketing because people are going to be getting these requests, and they're going to say, hey, this is pretty easy. Maybe I'll use it. So
yeah, absolutely. As a consumer, I love this because I usually tell people, well, we can just share files in my Dropbox. And they're like, you're what? I'm like, my Dropbox. I mean, don't you know what that is? Not everybody knows. Well, now you can just send them a link. They don't have to have an account or sign up. On the flip side, you're right. There could be some stickiness here for Dropbox to actually get some new customers out of it once people see that it's easy to use.
In mergers and acquisitions news, Connexity, which owns shopping and price comparison sites, including ShopZilla, has acquired PriceGrabber. The terms were not disclosed. Kevin, this is part of the ongoing consolidation of this industry. Eventually, there'll be one, and they can, you know, they don't have to be, you know, they don't have to work that hard to offer low prices. So, what are you going to do?
You mean it's not Amazon already?
It will be eventually,
probably
by the end of the show. In the human resources department, Google engineering VP and former Maps chief Brian McClendon has left the company and joined Uber, to help that company create an Uber-owned alternative to Google Maps and also self-driving Uber cars. I don't know, was this his involvement with the Uber cars will be probably the navigation part of it because he's a maps person. But wow, Uber is just gobbling up Google executives like crazy.
Well, it's a smart move on their part. And going back to our earlier story, I'm sure he's an employee, not a contractor, so we'll have to give him benefits.
That's right.
But it makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, what's one way that Uber can cut down their costs is, you know, eventually have self-driving cars and smarter mapping and so on. So smart play by them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in other human resources news, Magic Johnson is joining Square's board of directors. He's joining Silicon Valley VC luminaries Rolif Botha, Vinod Khosla, Mary Meeker, David Viniar, as well as Square founder Jim McKelvey, he's a co-founder, and economist Larry Summers. What a board this is, Kevin Toefel. This has got some serious heavy hitters.
I would not want to play them in five-on-five basketball. No pickup games with Magic Johnson. That's impressive.
Yeah, Vinod Khosla is like the Magic Johnson of venture capital. Wow, What a board. Well, in big numbers news, $100 million. That's how many dollars the FCC is requiring AT&T to pay for slowing down internet speeds for customers with unlimited data plans. The fine is the largest ever levied by the FCC, and good for them because I have one of those accounts myself.
So. Yeah, I wonder if it's even a large enough of a fine. I mean, this goes all the way back to their 2011 rules, and they say that AT&T was not telling their customers that we may throttle you, particularly their unlimited customers. Some people, I've already seen a Twitter storm on this from various people saying, yes, they would notify me, or no, I've never heard about this. So there's a lot of people saying maybe there's not enough of a fine here yet.
But the larger question is these like incredibly wealthy companies get these relatively puny fines. Google's facing one in Europe, for example. You know, France is basically saying, if you don't censor the global internet, according to Europe's right to be forgotten rules, we're going to fine you 150 million euros. I mean, that's, you know, Google burns through that in like, you know, 5 minutes.
It's cost like, of doing business. It's already put into the numbers.
Exactly. But I don't think that any of these regulating bodies just, you know, take the money and then call it quits and stop. You know, they're still going to force them to do it one way or the other. So either way, AT&T is, even if it's a small fine for AT&T, they're still going to have to, you know, play ball here. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Mayor Quimby in Eureka, California, who posted this picture on Instagram. He's got one of those cups. Check it out. Very nice. And there we are playing in the background on a small tablet or a large phone. I can't really tell. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and your cup of coffee and post it on Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. Kevin Toefel, what are you writing about? Are you, by the way, going to be writing about the Nest event today?
I probably will not be writing about the Nest event, although I do a different podcast with one of my former colleagues, Stacey Higginbotham, every week called the IoT Podcast, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week. Again, Nest, from what I've seen just now, they are announcing upgrades to their entire product line, so there will be plenty to talk about in the coming week for that.
Awesome. You can follow Kevin at Kevin C. Toefel on Twitter. Thanks again, Kevin. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Subscribe to Tech News Today on Stitcher, or you can choose some other way to subscribe at our shiny new website, twit.tv/TNT is the URL. You can also watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1700 UTC at twit.tv. Press the live button. If you're ever in Northern California, come on in and watch us as part of our studio audience. Send an email to tickets@twit.tv before you come in. If you'd like to help us grow our audience, here's how you can do it. Just post a link to twit.tv/TNT on your favorite social network and tag three friends along with your recommendation to subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TechNewsTodayTV. You can follow me on all the social networks at elgin.com. And don't miss Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. This show is produced by Jason Cleanthes and edited by Anthony Nielsen. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.